judging us all. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wild eyes a simple. For to be desired are they than gold, in and much fine gold. Sweeter also than
This is Go Ye International's podcast. Thank you for taking interest in this episode, in which I will continue the audio version. You may obtain a free copy of this to read on your own or even along with the podcast. Contact me through the email for this PDF version right away via email. Please continue to listen and learn with Go Ye International's podcast as I invite you to visit often and stay late. There is a different world for you to discover.
Won't you be designed other than gold, in a much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
A Conscience of Lamentation. An Old Testament book, Lamentations, records Jeremiah's elaborate expression of grief regarding the conquered condition of Israel due to the rampant transgressions in the nation. That overthrow was brought about by Israel's holy potentate as a castigatory response to Israel's religious and political leaders who allowed God's flock to go astray, themselves leading the way. More about that can be found in the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Concerning evil, God's holy, immutable character demands of himself justice with those he puts his name upon, as it was with Israel then and is upon the Christian church today. Though God thundereth marvelously with his voice, and great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend, Job 37 verse 5, there should be no doubt or confusion between the inclusive nature of the Lord, who is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, while by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. Unfortunately, this aspect of the transcendent, loving Creator is rarely, if ever, touched upon in certain religious practices, finding more comfort in the community of sugar-coated mendacity than in the full image of God. Therefore, since Lamentations stirred my understanding about the necessity of contrition, I offer some beneficial content from Israel's weeping prophet as it should be applied to our lives today. 5 questions will be answered with the purpose of helping those who seek enhancements in their relationship with God, as well as those who need to begin one, to better develop a conscience of lamentation, so that sin, that it might appear sin by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. Romans 7:13. Taking lessons from Israel's judgment for sin, my questions are simply, what caused it? What was the result? What was the solution? What is the conclusion? And what about repentance? What was the cause? In Lamentations chapter 2, we read the questions Jeremiah asked his beloved nation. Additionally, verses 13 through 14 contain the indictment. What thing shall I take to witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee, that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity, to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. Since the outcome of most things rise and fall on leadership, I find the prophets have seen vain and foolish things to be intriguing and informative toward answering what was the cause of Israel's plight. In wasting time by avoiding the issues of iniquity, the religious leadership of the nation was characteristic of ignorant and dumb dogs unable to bark, Isaiah 56:10. This is typical of those in the religious leadership of America today, whose mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage, Jude 1 verse 6, within the political aristocracy currently wrecking every vestige of liberty in favor of a financial and corporate oligarchy. Just as the impious spirituality of Israel's religious leadership refused to counter the tide of evil practices in business, politics, and education at that time, America's dishonorable, unrepresentative religious and political elite cooperate to undermine every prudent principle that safeguards the longevity of a nation from the wrath of the adversary of humanity, Revelation 12, verse 12, and ultimately the justice of Almighty God. Lord Jesus had this to say to those in his day that do the very same thing. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. Is it any wonder that this kind of leadership today proliferates practices that make void God's law? Psalms 119, verse 126. By ignoring the enveloping malevolence in our culture that celebrates titles like American Idol, Vanity Fair, and others, a shame even to speak of, Ephesians 5:12. All the while they conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceit, Job 15, verse 35. Having their right hands full of bribes, Psalm 26:10, those self-proclaimed leaders, whether religious or political, frame mischief by law, Psalms 94, verse 20. The religious by denouncing righteousness as evil, the political by announcing the evil to be righteous. That arrangement of corrupt influences in Israel is nonetheless evident in the American culture as well. Iniquity is abounding everywhere in American culture, with no widespread concern thereof among her inhabitants. Jeremiah looked for a witness to comfort the people of Israel. He found only a disturbing description for the people whose problem was as big as the sea is vast, with no hope of healing in sight. Knowing from Scripture what was the cause of Israel's captivity, it should serve us well as a disconcerting example of what is presently occurring in this nation. Though there may or may not be a foreign enemy that brings the people of America into captivity, the concerted efforts of neglectful ministers of religion and of naughty ministers of state have promoted the orchestrated implosion of this nation by only a handful of tyrannical and disloyal corporations and untrustworthy financial institutions' captivity enough. All this because America's prophets have opted for a veneer of virtue while in reality loving darkness, John chapter 3 verse 19, rather than the light which lighteth every person, John chapter 1 verse 9. In American religion today, as well as within the politics, a love affair with iniquity is such that those nations of the past that received God's justice would blush in shame at American values. Consider the voluminous transgressions that abound in all time from readings in the epistles and scrolls. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Remember that the Lord spoke a solemn rebuke to Israel, saying, As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister hath not done, nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty, and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sister in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Ezekiel 16, verses 48 through 51. Without belaboring this subject of past, present, and future cultural corruption, know it will occur in America as it did with Israel. God is not mocked. What people sow, that they will reap. Galatians 6, verse 7. What was the result? In the same book of Lamentations, there is insight into America's certain and near future through the record of what took place in Israel. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. Lamentations 1 verse 5. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. Lamentations 5 5. Not very optimistic, is it? Difficult times are ahead for the nations that find the principles of God's word to be repugnant. The citizens therein will find oppressive, even coercive measures used to control the population that remains alive. The psychological impact of such abrupt alterations to their former perception will result in the general population being full of anger towards what they conceive to be God. Although, those who begin to develop a conscience of lamentation, better late than never, will likely encounter what Jeremiah did. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 20. He hath hedged about me, and I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. Lamentations chapter 3, 7 through 9 and 11. The onset of depression will be likely. Anyone who takes a survey of the sin in their life will probably encounter godly sorrow, not to be mistaken for worldly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11. Encountering the condition of one's soul can result in a grim outlook for a season. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. Lamentations 3, verses 2 through 3. As one learns that God has taken notice of our iniquities through the light of his countenance that illuminates the dark regions of our conscience, our secret sins. Psalms 90, verse 8. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Psalm 69, verse 5, becomes a likely response. This understanding of God's word between Old and New Testaments is in perfect accord with the new covenant established in, by, and through Lord Jesus Christ. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, which shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through 18. In the event one acquires a conscience of lamentation over their sin and the sin of the nation wherein they reside, hope for personal recovery isn't in vain, though they sink into despair, saying, Thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Lamentations 3, 17 through 18. Remember, answers can be found in God's word.
So long I I have yearned and cried through the tears and the pain. My prayers have been answered now that I've learned that my waiting has not been.
What was the answer? Jeremiah, a seeker of God's truth, emerging from the despair induced by looking in the mirror of his soul, succinctly wrote in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Jeremiah had the answer in his memory, the Lord's mercies. Furthermore, he found the answer to what caused this national tragedy to be in repentance and faith. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. Lamentation chapter 3, 31-36. A sorrowful student encountering his sinfulness by way of viewing God's holiness as disclosed in God's word, Jeremiah had the right idea in saying, "Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned." Lamentations 3, 39-42. Though the clouds of doubt and uncertainty may be prevalent so that our prayers should not pass through, Lamentations 3:44, maybe the rest of the passage will be true in us, "Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven." Lamentations chapter 3, 49 and 50. Do what Jeremiah did in that he called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon, recognizing the Lord drew us near to help him. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 55 through 58. As this terrible time transpires in this land and even across the world, when the joy of our heart is ceased, our dance is turned into mourning, and the crown is fallen from our head, woe unto us if we deny that we have sinned. For all of this, it should be that our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Lamentations 5, verse 15 through 17. By reading the Holy Scriptures, God's intention is evident, not to leave the one who acknowledges, affirms, appropriates, and announces the need, at times, for a conscience of lamentation. Moreover, this working of a heart of weeping over sin, our sin, is a means through which our loving majesty corrects those things in our lives that should not be once named among us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 8. This certainly brings to my mind the conclusive difference between our faithful Creator and me. What is the conclusion? The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. Lamentation chapter 1 verse 18 is nothing short of the adequately decisive content of God's record of Israel's transgression against their God, manifested in their treatment of one another. Considering that the history of nations follows trends, it is evident that the United States of America and her citizens are in the very condition Israel found herself before their captivity commenced. For the individual, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Lamentations 3, verse 40. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Psalms 51, verse 3. For the nation that turns away from the guiding principles that aid it, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 19, verse 17. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Psalm chapter 50, verse 22. Our fathers have sinned, and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Lamentation chapter 5, verse 7. Repentance is required. What about repentance? Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever, and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. Lamentation chapter 5, 19-22. Recognizing repentance is necessarily required to cancel being utterly rejected, there are verses in the Holy Writ that inform us of the adequate actions, not just words, to be taken against the dissimulation regarding sin in our lives. While the contemporary practice in American Christianity is an inordinate invitation within the climate-controlled facilities requesting that heads bow and eyes close as if disrobing of one's iniquity is to be some hidden event, consider the following from John the Baptist, Lord Jesus, and an apostle sent forth by the Lord. John the Baptist utterly rejected the phony piety of the religious and political leadership of his day with, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Lord Jesus emphasized this fruit in our conversion with, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. John chapter 15, verse 16. Peter said nothing different from those before him, saying that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For a reinforcement about this content, listen to All Paths Lead to the Same God, available at the Go Ye International website, goyeinternational.podomatic.com. Also, consider Authentic Preachers, John the Baptist and Lord Jesus, on the My Tongue is the Pen of a Ready Writer free podcast with free book in chapter 20 at mytongue.podomatic.com. This matter of proper remorse over sin and the resultant repentance and restoration that is to follow is perhaps one of the most avoided, hated to be for sure, in all Christendom. Be that as it may, the divine declaration still remains. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Until our sin is exceeding sinful, and the appropriate repentance is sought, expressed, and completed at no less frequency than our sin occurs, Paul's instruction to the Christians in Corinth is suitable in wrapping up this matter of repentance, which stems from a conscience of lamentation. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm chapter 51, verse 17. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34, verse 18. Psalm 51 is the prayer of repentance by King David. It's worth reading.
Forgive me, can you forgive a fool? My actions
A conscience of lamentation, when appropriate, is something I clearly see from Genesis to Revelation. From God's, Where art thou? In the former paradise, Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, to the future when the cosmological restoration takes place after the last call to repentance will be issued, Revelation chapters 2 through 3. I hope those who encounter this material will celebrate the mercy of God that works in us to develop a conscience capable of weeping over sin in our nation and especially the sin we commit. In the event there are thoughts among some who think this discovery in the Book of Lamentations is not for us in the 21st century, perhaps this will alleviate such a sentiment. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For those who find comfort in the Scriptures, and thereby hope, join me in affirming, I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. Psalms 38, verse 18. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29. For thou wilt lighten my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. O gracious and merciful Lord, grant that I may have a conscience of lamentation.
That hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up.
This concludes this episode of the Goyi International Broadcast. Thank you for listening, downloading, and/or reading along. You may contact us through the contact information available on the Goyi International's podcast page via the email, the websites of goyiinternational.mysite.com, and there you get further information by which you can write and/or use other email and call. Also, Goyi International would like any kind of comments and feedback that you are willing to offer through the various means available on this website and otherwise. Please make contact. Please continue to listen and learn with Goyi International's podcast as I invite you to visit often and stay late. There is a different world for you to discover.